Running your own business can feel isolating, but you don't have to figure it all out alone. Join a free guest session inside the Smashing the Plateau community to get fresh ideas and real solutions to your biggest business challenge. Spots are limited. Reserve yours now at smashingtheplateau.com/guest. That's smashingtheplateau.com/guest.
I think as an entrepreneur, you only have so much time, and that is your biggest resource, is your own time, your own energy. And if you're not putting it towards things that really kind of fill you up and make you happy, then you really need to think about whether it's worth doing.
Today's guest is Susan Barber, a leading visibility coach who helps high achievers step into influential leadership roles. After spending over 25 years in corporate leadership before launching her own business, Susan brings hard-won wisdom about what it really takes to build a sustainable enterprise. In this episode, we explore the often overlooked difference between starting a business and actually running one, why the choices that scare us most might be pointing us in the right direction, and how to avoid the trap of perfectionism that keeps so many entrepreneurs stuck behind the scenes. Susan shares candid insights about imposter syndrome, the power of trusting yourself over constantly learning from others, and why visibility isn't about bragging. It's about letting people see the value you truly bring. Whether you're contemplating a major career transition or looking to amplify your impact, this conversation will challenge you to stop hiding and start doing. Now let's welcome Susan Barber. Susan is a leading visibility coach who transforms quiet high achievers into visible and influential leaders so they can confidently position themselves for new opportunities. With over 25 years of experience in leadership roles at Kraft Heinz, she has a deep understanding of the challenges corporate leaders face. Susan is the author and podcast host of The Visibility Factor and author of Your Journey to Visibility Workbook. Her mission is focused on empowering leaders to show their value and be seen for their true talent. Susan, welcome back to the show.
Thanks so much. I'm excited to be back.
Yeah, it's been a long time since you were on.
I was
doing a little research before we're recording this episode. Last time you were on Smashing the Plateau was 2017. And you know, it's interesting. We talked about harnessing the right mindset to help you overcome any roadblock and help you push through your own professional and personal boundaries, mm-hmm. right? Which at that time, after a long career in at Kraft Heinz, that I mentioned in the introduction, at that point you had been in your business, I think it was about 2 years.
Oh, probably one and a half, maybe something like that. Yeah, definitely at the beginning, though.
Right, at the beginning. So, you know, fast forward to today, you've now been in your business, I guess it's about a decade-ish.
Yeah, yeah.
Congratulations.
Thanks.
You beat the odds.
I know, time has actually flown by really fast, but it's crazy to think it's 10 years.
Yeah, and then you've written two books, mm-hmm. which is awesome. So if you look back at your career and particularly what you've done since you started your own business, what do you see as the main differences between starting a business and running a business?
Oh, wow. I mean, starting the business, you're all excited and motivated and you want to try all these new things. And I think it's how can you figure out where to focus your efforts and energy and time in the best way? Because there are a lot of things that are come up as opportunities that sound great, that you can spend a lot of money on, but that, do they ultimately move the needle and help you really build your business? And I think that is some definite learnings I've had along the way of where to really focus, you know, my time and what I'm doing. And the books definitely came into play for that, because if I'm going to put a good book out, you need some time and energy to do that. And so I found that I really love to write. I didn't know that I did that. I don't even know if I'd really started my blog much before I met with you. And that kind of started me on this journey of writing. And so to me, writing, doing my podcast are things that I love. And of course, you know, now I get to do workshops and speaking and things that I hadn't even started any of that when I met with you the last time. So it's been quite the journey for myself just to figure it out.
Yeah. So when you look at what has actually moved the needle forward, you mentioned the books. What kinds of either metrics They might be hard metrics or maybe some soft metrics. Do you identify as moving the needle forward?
I mean, I think it's definitely revenue, right? Revenue has increased and all of those things are things to look at. Number of clients, number of opportunities that I've had to get involved in things. The number is well over 2,000 hours in terms of coaching, workshops, you know, getting in front of over 1,000 people. You know, it's just those moments of realizing that you've come so far, even though every day you're just kind of plugging along and it doesn't always feel like it. But when you look back, you can see that you've made a lot of progress. And for me, the biggest thing I think, you know, that's maybe not as measurable is just confidence level. You know, back when I first started, I went through a lot of imposter syndrome. You know, I figured it out in corporate and then I came out and like, oh my gosh, I have to sell myself. I have to sell this business. I have to sell everything that I want people to know. And that was a little scary, right? I talk about that in the book. The scariest thing I could do is to start my business. And that was also scary to learn how to sell what I'm doing and the services I offer. And so for me, over time, you just become better at it, right? The more you do it, the more conversations you have, the more coaching you do. In my case, you know, it just became this place of, I just don't really worry about it. You can put me in pretty much any situation and I feel really, really comfortable now. And that was definitely not true in the beginning. So that for me is something that I know comes with time and just doing, you know, things repeatedly to get better at it. But that has been one of the things that I think I'm most proud of myself, because that was definitely not where I was in the beginning.
Yeah. Well, I think that's very common. And mm-hmm. I like the language that you use to describe what you just mentioned in your book. The choice that scares you the most is the one you are supposed to pick.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So paying attention to your fears can actually be a good sign of where you might want to move.
Yeah. I mean, that came from me taking a walk and trying to figure out, what do I do now that I've left the company? And do I go get another corporate job? Or do I do something that scares the heck out of me, which is start my own business? And I don't even know if I would have thought of doing that had I not already been on this coaching journey and getting my certification and starting to see that other people had started their own businesses with coaching. And I thought, well, why not? You know, why not? And this is the time, if I'm going to do it, I have to do it now. I had a year of severance, which was great to have in the bank to be able to lean on. And so I just got started and met with some wonderful people along the way who've helped me. And I think that is just, it's been a fun journey, but it's definitely had its moments of adventure for sure. Of what am I doing today? Is this the right thing to do or not? And yeah, so I think if anybody can pay attention to that and recognize that it might be scary, it might be a little risky, and so have some money in the bank before you do it. But those are the things that I think are the most rewarding when you're on the other side of that fear, right? Of just saying, you know what, I can do this. I've absolutely shown myself I can do it. And now I can show that it's been a success.
Yeah. So along with, you know, deciding what it is that you're supposed to do and identifying what's going to move the needle forward, there are lots of things that you probably decided not to do. You know, maybe some of those things were the things that were easier to do. Maybe some of those things were just not as revenue focused as others. I'm curious to know if you'd like to share some of the things you decided not to do and why.
You know, I tried doing a couple things around partnerships. They just didn't work as well. I think you have to really know yourself. And I don't think I knew myself well enough at that point to be able to do it. And I found that I was missing out on doing some things that I really wanted to do. So I think you have to know who you are, what you want in order for a partnership to work. Other things were getting involved in different groups and different organizations that seem great, but they do require a lot of your time. And I know I keep coming back to that, but I think as an entrepreneur, you only have so much time. And that is your biggest resource, is your own time, your own energy. And if you're not putting it towards things that really kind of fill you up and make you happy, then you really need to think about whether it's worth doing.
Yeah. Are there specific questions you ask yourself around those choices of what not to do and how frequently you might ask them?
Well, first, before I do them, I stop myself from doing or saying yes before I do it, because I have this, I don't know if it's impulsivity a little bit about new things that I love and seem kind of fun, but once I learn a little bit more about them, I just have to really kind of sit with, I kind of trust my gut more than anything else, I'd say. Trusting myself and feeling like, this isn't what I thought it was going to be. And I've stayed in certain things too long, even though, you know, I probably knew a year in advance that I probably should get out of them. And I think we all have that moment of, it sounds really cool and I have gotten some value from it, so do I stay in it or not? And, you know, the more I've looked at things, I just try to be really honest with myself. Like, is this really going to help me? Or do I actually know what to do? And I think in the beginning, when you're new in your own business and trying to figure it all out, all these things seem like the thing you should do to help you grow and develop. But I think a lot of times I knew what to do. I just didn't trust that yet.
Can you share an example?
Oh my gosh. Well, you know, as a former IT person, I tried to buy all the little things that would connect together and automate, you know, different things from your invoicing system into your CRM and all of that stuff. And I'd love if they all worked perfectly. They weren't where they are today, but I just feel like I spent a lot of money on things that I tried to make work, or I spent a lot of time building out my website. And if I look back, and if I'm honest, I was just hiding, right? I was trying to make everything perfect behind the scenes, but not spending enough time doing business development and trying to meet people and customers and all that kind of stuff. So that is, you know, my own moment of, okay, you're hiding. You need to get back out there, which is ironic, having, you know, written two books about visibility and have a podcast on it, that I still have to sometimes push myself out of my comfort zone to get out there in a bigger way.
Yeah. So let's talk a little bit about the visibility. What are some key things you can do that will help your business through visibility?
Well, you know, things like this. I think podcasts are one of the most fun things for me to be a guest on. I also love having guests on my show. I think it's so much fun to just get to really share everybody else's journey. You know, as I'm interviewing them, I'm learning a lot about their journey. I'm hoping the audience is as well. But here is an opportunity for me to, you know, send my message out about visibility. And I have a big mission to get visibility in front of as many people as possible and to help them recognize that it's much easier than I think a lot of people realize. I think I grew up in this world of, you have to do everything for yourself. You have to, if you speak up in a meeting, you're bragging. You know, if you say the wrong thing and someone calls you out on it, well, then, you know, that's the end of your career. Like, I had a lot of these limiting beliefs that I had, and I just don't want anyone else to have those. I want them to all know that their voice matters and that what they have to say matters. And it's hard for people to see that, you know, until they recognize that it's possible. And so I'm trying to create possibilities for people to know that they can do it themselves if they want to. So it's definitely been an interesting experience for me to learn all of these lessons. I just want as many people as possible to learn them too.
Yeah. Susan, what are some of the common challenges that your clients come up with?
Well, usually it's fear of some sort. That might be imposter syndrome. That might be somebody gave me feedback that sounds awful, and I just can't even believe they said that to me. Those moments of being in a different place than you thought you were. And a lot of people going through a career transition that, you know, shows a lot of doubt for them in their heads. Like, is this the right move? Should I do this? Am I ready? And I feel like my role is to kind of be a mirror a little bit for them, but also to push them a little bit out of their comfort zone. Because, you know, if I think about people who left Kraft, a lot of them tried to go into roles that were exactly where they were. And I would meet with them and I'd say, but you've done so much that you don't even realize. And I think we all have that. We don't realize what we've done. We don't appreciate and value the things that we've done. And so I feel like sometimes I'm a mirror helping them realize that they have a lot of value and that they can do more than they think. And so I think that's the challenge that a lot of people have, is they just don't reflect enough on what they have already done. They're always trying to do the next thing, and slowing down and paying attention to that, you actually realize you have a lot to offer company or in your role or whatever it is you're doing.
Yeah. You know, in that regard, if you are trying to move forward in your career, whether it's as an employee or as an entrepreneur, one of the challenges is you often get judged on whether or not you can perform a new role that they're expecting. One of the challenges is they look to see that you've actually done the exact same thing before, right? But there always needs to be a first time you're doing something. And the first time you're doing something, you can do it very well and maybe based on all of the different experiences you've had and all the skills you've had over the course of your career. But how do you avoid somebody judging that you aren't going to be able to do something, even though you full well have the capability, you just haven't done that exact thing in that environment before?
I mean, for most people, they've done something similar. So we try to look at what are translatable skills, right? Or transferable things that they can say, you know, I've done something like this and it's very similar to what you're asking me to do, or it's very similar to a project. Especially when people are interviewing, we're definitely having those conversations about what is in the job description, what are people looking for, and how can you talk about it in a way that they can hear that you're going to be able to do it. Because of course, anybody who's hiring someone wants to know that they're going to be ready to, you know, hit the ground running. They don't want to know that there's a 6-month time frame before they can actually do the job. And even if you're in a company, I think it's the same thing. You're always trying to show that you're ready for the next level, whatever that looks like for you. And that comes with how you talk about yourself, how you show up in meetings, how you talk about your value and the impact that you're making. Same thing as you do in an interview, you're just doing it within a company in your own world. And the more you get comfortable with doing that, you know, the easier it becomes. But it's definitely something that a lot of people shy away from, just feel like they are bragging and don't want to talk about themselves. But it's the one thing that you need to do in a way that feels comfortable to you for them to see you and notice you.
Right, right. Which goes back to visibility.
Right, right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, Susan, you mentioned earlier ways that you have connected with other people and collaborated or attempted to collaborate. I'm curious to know how community collaboration and peer support have contributed to your growth and how those different elements perhaps have worked well to support what you've wanted to achieve and what you have accomplished.
Well, I knew coming into this world, you know, it's kind of a solo venture, right, in the beginning for sure. And I knew that community was going to be important. So I've always found some people I'll call my little board of advisors that I connect with all the time. You know, we Voxer each other, you know, sometimes on a daily basis, but at least on a weekly basis. And I found that that is really helpful just to bounce ideas off each other, to share ideas. But I've also been part of communities that I think are really helpful because you learn from each other, you learn what they're doing, and you can decide, does it work in my business or not? Maybe I adapt some things that would work better for me. But I think community is a huge piece of this, right? Even launching a book, you need a community of people behind you to help you succeed in that. And so I've been slowly and steadily always trying to build my community, whether that's on LinkedIn or whether that's in my own mailing list, and just being a part of groups that I think are, I'll call them my people, right? People that I feel like I can be myself. I don't have to put on a certain persona in order to be a part of it. I think that's an important piece, is you want to feel like you fit, you belong, and that you can be yourself. I think that's one of the most important pieces.
Yeah. And how have you found communities, or how have they found you?
Sometimes they find me. Sometimes it's someone else who has been part of a community. Or one that was really great is she had a podcast that she also has a community as part of it. And so I joined that and learned a lot from that. Honestly, it helps women consultants just kind of learn a lot of things. She has a lot of templates, a lot of things. You know, I think there's a lot of those that are similar, but I found it to be really, really helpful for me at the time when I joined. And I almost wish she would have had it, you know, 7-8 years ago. But, you know, I also think you join things when you're ready. And I probably wouldn't have been ready enough at that point to do as much as I did in this one. But yeah, I met a lot of great people. And I wasn't shy about connecting with them as individuals too. We did one-on-ones with people, we did group things. So those are things that I think everybody can learn and grow from.
Yeah. Susan, as you look back over what you've accomplished and the transition from employee to your own business, what do you think one thing is a corporate refugee can do today that's really going to move things forward for them, you know, perhaps more quickly than some other ways?
Well, this might sound crazy, but I think it helps you to just, first of all, know who you are and what you want out of your business and recognize that you have a certain set of values and a certain way of being that you want to have and show and talk about with people. I found that I didn't trust myself enough in the beginning. And the more I did trust myself, the easier it became. Like, I wasn't putting more pressure on myself because I just knew what to do. Instead of comparison mode, which is where a lot of people, I think, you know, spend a lot of time. And it's easy to do with social media. You see all these great programs and things that everybody has. And I'm not saying they're not great. They may be wonderful for you at the time, but you have to also at some point stop learning and start doing. And I am a great learner, but at some time I have to say, you know, I have to put some of this stuff into practice now that I've learned it. And I think there's a tendency to keep going into the next thing and the next thing and the next thing without actually implementing enough. And the more you do it yourself, you start to realize, wow, I actually knew more, way more about that than I thought. And I'm actually much better at it than I thought I would be. So you don't give yourself that time to show yourself that you're really in a much better place if you don't slow down enough to do that. So for me, that is something I would recommend. Don't spend as much time behind the scenes. Just really start to put yourself out there and figure out who you are.
That's really great advice. Yep. Better to get started.
Yes. Don't do what I did in the beginning, which is spend time on your website and your business card and your name of your company, because it takes a lot longer to get out of that once you start. So I don't know. Those are things that I realized after the fact, of course, that I was, you know, just not feeling comfortable enough to put myself out there and to learn how to talk about what I do. I think, you know, even being on your show the first time, you asked me questions that pushed me out of my comfort zone at that point because I didn't really have a story to share yet. I had a story about leaving the company and why I did it. And I think the more you do podcasts or speaking and talking about what you're doing, it just helps you realize what you have to offer and the value that you bring.
Yeah, that is so true. Susan, is there anything else that I haven't asked you that you want to mention before we close out the episode?
I think the only thing I was going to talk about a little bit is the workbook that I just put out. It has a really nice set of frameworks in there that I think can be used by people who are working with clients who are doing different things, but also to reflect for yourself on where you are in your own journey of visibility. Because I know we all have one and we're all at different places. And sometimes it's easier than others. But I want people to know that wherever you are, there are always things that you can start to do a little bit differently and just push yourself out of your comfort zone and try some stuff. And if it works, great. And if it doesn't, you can choose other ideas. That's the beauty of this. So the first book has tons and tons of ideas. I wanted it to be really easy for people to find an idea that works for them based on their strengths. But the workbook has a lot of frameworks that I wasn't able to put in the first book that I think can be really helpful to people and be able to put into practice.
Yeah, thank you for mentioning that. And with that in mind, where is the best place for someone to go to learn about your books, learn about you, access, get copies of the books and any other resources you may have, et cetera?
Yeah. My website, Susan M, is in marybarber.com, but the books are online at any online retailer that you can find. So yeah, I'm excited for them to be out there. The workbook even got a editor's pick from a trade review, which was surprising and wonderful to see. So it just shows growth and progress in my own writing and what I'm doing as well, which was fun.
Yeah, great. And congratulations on getting the editor's pick.
Thanks.
So Susan, I want to thank you so much for taking the time to join us again on Smashing the Plateau. Give us an update on what you've been up to and share some great insights. My guest today has been author and executive coach Susan Barber. Thank you, Susan, for joining us.
Thank you for having me, David.
Running your own business can feel isolating. That's why we created Smash Through Your Business Roadblocks, a live interactive session where experienced professionals bring real challenges and work through them together using the SMASH framework. It's your chance to experience the Smashing the Plateau community, a space where corporate refugees support one another to keep moving forward. You'll leave with fresh momentum, clarity, and maybe even a few new allies in your corner. Guest spots are limited, so grab yours now at smashingtheplateau.com/guest. That's smashingtheplateau.com/guest.